day, and welcome to today's conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions during a question-and-answer session. To register to ask a question, you may press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone at any time. Please note today's call may be recorded, and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Alan Brookes-LaSure. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much. This is Alan Brookes-LaSure with the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. For today's call, first we'll hear from Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference. During the Q&A session, our Executive Vice President of Policy, Christine Lucius, will represent the Leadership Conference and answer any questions that you might have in addition to the other speakers. So to start off, Vinita.
Good morning and thank you. I'm Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, a coalition of more than 200 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. We are honored to be joined today by Senator Jeff Merkley, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Rachel Tiven, CEO of Lambda Legal, Chad Griffin, President of the Human Rights Campaign, Mara Kiesling, Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality, and Shannon Minter, Legal Director for the National Center for Lesbian Rights. By selecting Brett Kavanaugh to serve a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, President Trump carried out his threat to nominate justices who would overturn Roe v. Wade and undermine the Affordable Care Act. What's more, if confirmed, Kavanaugh would serve as a rubber stamp for Trump's anti-LGBTQ agenda. Last month, the Supreme Court decided Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission in favor of a bakery owner who refused business to a same-sex couple because of his faith. The court narrowly decided the case on the facts and did not grant a broad right to discriminate. But we know that similar questions are going to come before the Supreme Court again. Kavanaugh's record indicates that he would allow a license to discriminate based on religion. For example, in the case Priest for Life versus HHS, Kavanaugh dissented from a holding that the Affordable Care Act's contraception requirement did not violate the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The court reached this decision because religious nonprofits were allowed to opt out of the contraceptive requirement. But Kavanaugh disagreed. He believed the religious views of the employer constituted a valid basis to deny access to essential health care. As the Trump administration continues its attacks against the LGBTQ community, more cases involving LGBTQ rights are expected to reach our nation's highest court. In the coming years, the Supreme Court could rule on the right of same-sex couples to adopt children. It could rule on protections for transgender students, on the right of brave transgender troops to serve in the military, and on the right to asylum for LGBTQ people who are fleeing violence and persecution abroad. We've already seen just how dangerous Trump's previous Supreme Court appointment has been. This past term, Justice Neil Gorsuch was the deciding vote in a number of rulings that diminished our civil and human rights. And in a decision finding that states cannot refuse to include the names of same-sex parents on a child's birth certificate, Gorsuch dissented. He wrote that states should be able to note only the biological parents instead. Like Gorsuch, Kavanaugh's vision of America is at odds with our highest ideals of justice and fairness. He's ruled on to allow greater access to foreign influence in our elections and consistently sides with the wealthy and powerful over the rights of all Americans. This isn't just about one Supreme Court nominee. It's about the future of our nation. And with civil and human rights at stake, the Senate must demand the release and review of Kavanaugh's full record. We know too little about what Kavanaugh worked on in his nearly 6 years in the Bush White House, but Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley has only requested records from Kavanaugh's time in the White House counsel's office, not from his 3 years as staff secretary. And this is outrageous. By Kavanaugh's own admission, his role as staff secretary was far more consequential. The American people deserve to know Kavanaugh's involvement in the Bush administration's anti-LGBTQ agenda. During Kavanaugh's tenure, President Bush supported amending the Constitution to ban same-sex marriage. He threatened to veto legislation that would protect LGBTQ people against hate crimes. And he appointed a special counsel who led a crusade to eliminate workplace protections for LGBTQ employees. Reviewing a Supreme Court nominee's full record is just standard procedure, and the refusal of Republican leadership to request all of the relevant documents raises the question, what are they hiding? Before equal justice under law become mere words engraved over the Supreme Court, senators must put country over party and refuse to hold a hearing on Kavanaugh until all documents have been turned over and reviewed. Trump's agenda to roll back our civil and human rights will last generations unless the Senate asserts its constitutional duty to review and then hopefully reject this nomination.
Thank you, Benita. Now it is our privilege and pleasure to introduce Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you, and Benita, thank you for arranging this conversation. We are really in the midst of a battle for the soul of our country, a battle between a vision of opportunity, a vision of fairness and justice for all, versus a country that tolerates bigotry and discrimination, and particularly bigotry and discrimination against our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. And this decision over Brett Kavanaugh is central to this path forward, because this court is going to have a huge influence over which vision of the Constitution is embodied. And I know that the Constitution was written with the vision of justice and fairness and equality and opportunity, but we do not have a nominee who supports that vision. And we know already there will be many cases that will be coming before the court that will affect the rights of LGBTQ Americans. Whether it's a case, more cases like Masterpiece Cake Shop, or the legality of President Trump's ban on transgender Americans serving in our armed forces, or cases that reflect the ability of same-sex couples to adopt a child, or whether non-discrimination laws protect LGBTQ Americans. Throughout his 3 decades on the court, Justice Kennedy served as the deciding vote in case after case, in a number of cases that expanded rights, equality, and opportunity. He voted to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act, to make laws that criminalize intimate relationships between same-sex couples unconstitutional. And he was the deciding vote in recognizing the right of same-sex couples to marry throughout our nation. But now we have a nominee to replace Justice Kennedy, who was handpicked by anti-choice, anti-LGBTQ groups like the Federal Society and Heritage Foundation. And there is no doubt in my mind that if he gets onto the court, Judge Kavanaugh will help the radical right chip away, and perhaps that's too mild, tear away case by case the rights of LGBTQ Americans that have been established so far. And he certainly won't be advancing an expansion of the vision of opportunity and fairness and justice for all. We already saw in Priests for Life that he put the religious beliefs of employers over the rights of their workers. That case was about access to birth control. But it's the very same argument we've seen used as a license to discriminate against LGBTQ Americans time and time again. And his opposition to the Affordable Care Act puts LGBTQ Americans, particularly transgender Americans, access to health insurance in jeopardy if insurers are set free to once again deny coverage to those with pre-existing conditions. Our nation has made such incredible strides forward when it comes to equality and the rights of LGBTQ Americans in the past few years. The end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the end of DOMA, nationwide recognition of same-sex marriage. But we have a long ways to go. In 30 states, laws still explicitly permit discrimination against LGBTQ Americans. Reminds me of how in 2007, when I was Speaker of the Oregon House, I was leading the fight for a law that banned discrimination against a full spectrum of involvement in society. And my daughter said to me, but Dad, of course in America it's already illegal to discriminate against LGBTQ Americans. And I explained to her it wasn't, even in our home state of Oregon. We passed that law. And I think it's astounding to young Americans that we're still living in a world where these rights are not secured. And now we have a nominee who would tear down what rights we have and fail in every coming instance to expand the protection that should exist under the vision of equality of opportunity in our Constitution. Every American deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. Every American deserves to live free from fear and violence, and free from discrimination. We've had doors slammed in the face of our LGBTQ Americans time and time again, decade after decade. We've started to end that. We need to complete that vision by passing the Equality Act and by having a court that affirms the vision of opportunity for all. But we won't get that court with this nominee. We will instead get a license to discriminate. That is unacceptable. We have to defeat this individual. And that does mean that we need full access to the documents related to his views. This battle for the documents is a standard set forward by the Republicans on Elena Kagan. They said, absolutely, everything that she wrote when she was in the executive branch is relevant, and we need to have it. Even things that went back before her service, back 30 years before her service, and yet now, suddenly Republicans are, in fact, trying to block access to these documents. What are they trying to hide? What do they know that the American public should know about his role in previous arguments over discrimination, or previous arguments over torture, or previous arguments on a host of topics affecting workers' rights and consumer rights and freedoms that are envisioned in our Constitution? We need to know, and we need full access to those documents, and we have to fight hard and realize that this nomination could have a profound impact on the vision of opportunity for decades to come. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Senator Merkley. Now we are pleased to hear from Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. Senator?
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today. I really appreciate having a chance to talk with everyone. Democracy as we know it is at stake in this fight. And over the next few weeks and few months, we have to join together and raise our voices like we have never raised them before. You know, I want to start actually with talking about the Roberts Court. The promise of our justice system, the words carved above the Supreme Court, are equal justice under law. And for decades now, right-wing groups and billionaires have been trying to tilt the scales of justice in their favor and against everyone else. The result is that when it's corporations, giant corporations against individuals, businesses against individuals, the court has increasingly tilted toward corporations. And the consequence is the most pro-corporate court we have seen since at least 1946. You know, in the 2005 to 2015, in that decade, businesses versus workers, businesses versus shareholders, businesses versus public interest groups, corporations won 62% of the time. So just think about that. And that has been a slope in that direction all along. One measure has been to see how often does the Chamber of Commerce win when it comes in on behalf of big business. And the answer is, back during the Republican Burger Court, the chamber won 43% of the time. By the time you hit the Rehnquist Court, the chamber's winning 56% of the time. And now, under the Roberts Court, the chamber is winning 70% of the time. And the problem is that the pro-corporate judges who are now filling up our courts are more anti-LGBTQ, more anti-women, more anti-worker, more anti-civil rights, and more anti-environmental justice than any group of judges we have seen in living memory. The Kavanaugh nomination comes up in that context. And for me, the key thing to know about Kavanaugh is that he was not a random selection. He was not a selection where the Trump administration went out and did their own vetting. Nope. He came from a list that had been pre-vetted by the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation. Two right-wing groups had signed off, pre-screened everybody who got on that list. That makes Kavanaugh a threat to the LGBT community, to the people of color, to women, to everyone who isn't wealthy and well-connected. And I don't have to tell people on this call what the anti-LGBTQ playbook has looked like. Right-wing groups have weaponized other aspects of the Constitution in order to override the rights of vulnerable communities. They've used employers' religious beliefs, for example, to override the rights of people who want to live in this country and be treated with dignity in this country. Kavanaugh's record shows he's willing to put corporate interests ahead of the interests of the people. So we've got a real problem here. This is truly about a takeover of our courts, the fifth vote in a lot of 5-4 decisions. But I remind people every chance I get, Donald Trump is not a king. He can't appoint somebody to the United States Supreme Court without a majority of senators. Every single one of us has to raise our hand and vote on this. And when people raise their voices, they get heard in Congress. We know that because it was almost exactly a year ago right now when enough people across this country had raised their voices that the United States Senate, by one vote, decided not to repeal the Affordable Care Act. By raising our voices together, we saved health care for tens of millions of Americans. And sure, I know, Trump and his administration continue to come after it, and they're coming at different angles. But stop for a minute and reflect on what that said about the power of the people. I remember January of 2017, right after Trump had been sworn in, and I thought, we could lose health care for tens of millions of Americans next week because they have a majority in the House, a majority in the Senate, and they own the White House. And that our only chance was people speaking out. And by the time we got to a vote at the end of July in 2017, we didn't have any more Democrats in the Senate than we'd had early in the year. But we had a lot of people across the country who'd come in off the sidelines, a lot of people who had joined protest rallies, who'd posted on Facebook, who'd sent emails, who'd tweeted, who'd raised their voices, who'd made phone calls to people here in Washington, all to say healthcare matters to me. Well, that's where we are right now on the Kavanaugh nomination. If we raise our voices, we have a chance to stay in this fight. Keep in mind, we just need one vote. We need three a year ago. Now we just need one. One vote. If we get one vote to join the Democrats, then we can push back on the Kavanaugh nomination. Look, I get it. This is an uphill climb. This is a tough climb. And big corporations, lobbyists, spineless Republicans will do everything they can to stop us. But nevertheless, we will persist. So thanks for being on this call today. Please, I know you'll be in the fight, but bring as many other people into the fight as you possibly can. We need everybody on this call to be a hero. Get out there and fight. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator Warren. Next, we'll hear from Rachel Tiven, CEO of Lambda Legal. Rachel?
Thank you, and thank you to the Leadership Conference and to Senator Warren and Senator Merkley. Your leadership is so vital. 1 year ago last week, the President of the United States stood on his electronic soapbox and announced that as Commander-in-Chief, he was kicking some people out of the military. Not because they were bad at their jobs, not because they had disobeyed orders, and not because they didn't protect our country, just because they are transgender. Lambda Legal and OutServe SLDN sued. A federal judge ruled in favor of our clients, current and would-be service members and the members of Human Rights Campaign and Gender Justice League. She blocked the ban from going into place so that people who are serving can keep serving. And she said that the government better be able to show a damn good reason that qualified soldiers can't serve. I'm paraphrasing. The president appealed her ruling to the court above her, to the Ninth Circuit, and asked that court if they couldn't please, please, please kick trans people out now while the case is pending. And the Ninth Circuit said no. So for now, trans service members nationwide can keep going to work every morning to serve our country. But eventually, this case is going to go to the United States Supreme Court. And if Brett Kavanaugh is on that court, he may say, he probably will say, that the president can do whatever he wants. He has said that that is what he believes. And he's joining a court where four of the members just aren't that bothered by discrimination, if it's what the president wants. That's why they upheld the Muslim ban last month. And so Brett Kavanaugh would be the fifth vote for letting the president do whatever he wants. And we don't have to imagine how dangerous that would be for our country, because we are already living it. Lambda Legal has been suing and winning for LGBTQ and HIV-positive people for 45 years. We've been suing the U.S. military since 1975. We exist to use the law to protect queer people and to make LGBTQ lives less dangerous and more fair. In 2003, we brought our most famous case, Lawrence versus Texas, the case that overturned the sodomy laws. That case is based in the inherent personal liberty of each person, the right to control our own bodies and to live our lives in privacy. And Brett Kavanaugh has been crystal clear that he does not believe queer people and women have that right. And that is deeply dangerous. We oppose Brett Kavanaugh, and we cannot afford 40 more years of Trump values on the court. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Next, we'll hear from Chad Griffin, president of the Human Rights Campaign. Chad?
Thank you so much, and thank you, Rachel, and both Senators Merkley and Warren, for your leadership and for being on this call. And I especially want to thank Vanita and the team at LCCHR for your leadership on this and for pulling us all together today. And thanks so much to the rest of you, to all of you, for joining and hearing our grave concerns about this nominee. In nominating Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, Donald Trump followed through yet again on his threat to nominate a justice in the mold of Antonin Scalia, who will undermine LGBTQ equality, reproductive freedom, and access to affordable health care. We know this because Kavanaugh's nomination was pre-cleared, was hand-picked, and put forward by extreme anti-LGBTQ and anti-choice groups who want to see a Supreme Court that will undermine our nation's civil rights laws, prohibit transgender troops from bravely serving this nation, and grant the license to discriminate against LGBTQ people in virtually every aspect of American life. That is their agenda. And then there's Kavanaugh's record, which speaks for itself. He's issued multiple opinions seeking to undermine the Affordable Care Act, which extended key protections to millions of LGBTQ Americans. He suggested that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided, and he's ruled that an employer's religious beliefs should be allowed to override a worker's access to birth control. This is the exact same argument and that anti-equality extremists use to advocate for a license to discriminate against LGBTQ people. For the LGBTQ community, the urgency of our fight against Kavanaugh's nomination is not abstract. It is literally about millions of people having a right to live their lives free from discrimination and with access to affordable health care. For decades, anti-LGBTQ extremists have attempted to use our courts as an instrument of oppression against our community. And now, for the second time in 18 months, they have handpicked one of their own to sit on the nation's highest court. We need the United States Senate to fully review the record, as Vanita articulated, to fully review the extreme record, the entire record of Brett Kavanaugh, including all records from his time in the Bush White House. And then we need the Senate to defeat Kavanaugh and send a message to the Trump-Pence administration that the American people will not stand for a justice that seeks to undermine rather than protect their fundamental civil rights. We need to send that message because the stark truth is that the Kennedy vacancy may not be this administration's last opportunity to shape the court. That's exactly why we as a community must do everything we can between now and Election Day to elect a sane, pro-equality majority to Congress that will stand up and defeat extreme judicial nominees like Kavanaugh at all levels of our judicial system. Here at HRC, we're engaged in the largest grassroots expansion in our 38-year history, standing shoulder to shoulder with our coalition partners and working to turn out the more than 10 million LGBTQ voters all across this country on Election Day. Together, we must defeat this nomination, and we must pull the emergency brake on the Trump-Pence administration on November 6th. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Chad. Next, we'll hear from Mara Kiesling, Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. Mara.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you, Chad. I really do want to thank Senators Merkley and Warren, who have just been tremendous leaders on transgender rights, on LGBT rights, and on just the rights of Americans. And I'm so thankful for them being here. And we at NCT are very proud members of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights and are very thankful for them setting this up today and for all the work they do. We know that Judge Kavanaugh has been hand-selected by anti-LGBT extremists. That he is that is not a bug. It is a feature of the Trump nomination system. But today I'd like to focus on only one aspect of the damage his confirmation could do, and that is on the Affordable Care Act. We know that Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation would put the Affordable Care Act in extreme danger. The ACA is such a crucial part of our healthcare system that continues to benefit tens of millions of Americans, including the approximately 2 million transgender people in the United States. Before the ACA, merely being transgender was considered a pre-existing condition and a cause for the insurer to turn you down for coverage. Transgender people will never go back to being pre-existing conditions. We're demanding that the Senate refuse to confirm Judge Kavanaugh because no American should have to live in fear of having their coverage denied when they need it most. If Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed and he joins the anti-ACA coalition on the court, it would take away the first and only federal law explicitly protecting everyone from sex discrimination in healthcare. This would have a disastrous impact on the rights of transgender people to be treated with the same respect and dignity as every other patient. Nearly every trans person I have met has a story about being turned away by a doctor or harassed by EMTs or laughed at by an insurance company. And we cannot let Kavanaugh encourage doctors to act on their worst prejudices instead of their moral duty to help people. Even in an emergency, too many transgender people are forced to be humiliated before they can get even the most basic emergency care, whether that's a simple antibiotic or a finger splint or something much more severe. No one should be forced to decide between a doctor that judges them for who they are and sitting at home trying to wait out an injury or potentially life-threatening illness. If Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed, he could help take away the only federal law protecting the rights of all Americans to fair and equitable health care. That is unacceptable to transgender people, just as it is unacceptable for all Americans. The National Center for Transgender Equality calls on the United States Senate to fully review Judge Kavanaugh's pro-business, anti-civil rights, and anti-LGBT record and to reject this dangerous nomination. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mara. Finally, we'll hear from Shannon Minter, Legal Director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Shannon.
Thanks so much. Yes, as the final speaker, I want to underscore the critical importance of family law issues to both LGBT adults and young people. We know that 20% of youth in foster care, that's like one out of every five, are LGBT young people, many of whom have been rejected by their families of origin. And just today, the Williams Institute released some new research showing that more than 114,000 same-sex couples are raising children in this country. Those couples are actually seven times more likely to adopt children than heterosexual couples. And yet, every day we're seeing new attacks on these families and children, new attempts to pass state laws and even propose federal legislation that would permit publicly funded foster care and adoption agencies to discriminate based on sexual orientation. We're also still fighting in a number of states to ensure that married same-sex parents are treated equally under the law, as Obergefell requires. It's highly likely the Supreme Court will consider cases involving these issues in the years ahead. There is nothing in Judge Kavanaugh's record to indicate that he would protect the rights of these families and children to equal treatment under the law. LGBT people have fought long and hard to protect our children and our families. The prospect of adding a justice to the Supreme Court who is likely to undermine those protections is of grave concern. I'll stop there.
Great. Thank you very much, Shannon. And thank you to all of our speakers. Now we'll open it up for questions. As I noted before, Christine Lucius, Executive Vice President for Policy at the Leadership Conference, will answer questions on behalf of the Leadership Conference in addition to our other speakers. And I'll also note that due to their schedule, Senators Merkley and Warren did have to depart the call. For reporters, I would ask that you please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. Operator, can you please provide instructions?
Certainly. As a reminder, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, it is the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If at any point you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, star and one to ask a question, and we'll pause briefly while questions queue. We'll go first to the line of Trudy Ring from The Advocate magazine.
Hi. Thanks to everyone on the call. I know that Senator Warren talked about needing, you know, just one to win over just one Republican to block the Kavanaugh nomination. But is there a danger of some Democrats defecting and, you know, supporting him? Because it seems that there's heavy lobbying of Senator Manchin and possibly others, and what can we do about that? And anyone can answer this.
Hi, this is Christine Lucius with the Leadership Conference. What I would say from our broad coalition's perspective is we're taking no votes for granted. We're having conversations with senators on both sides of the aisle to emphasize both what's at stake, but also what specifically we know in Brett Kavanaugh's record that gives us very strong concerns about how he would rule not just on issues affecting the LGBTQ community, but all communities in all parts of the civil rights space. But I think the point that Senator Warren was making is, you know, about needing one is not that we're only focused on one or two on the Republican side of the aisle, but that there, you know, there are activities and constituents speaking out in a broad range of states, including states where Democrats who voted in support of Neil Gorsuch. So I would say this is not a two-state strategy. This is a conversation that's happening from coast to coast in our country, and it's a real moment where we're seeing higher levels of energy of people understanding how this directly affects not only their healthcare rights, but more broadly, you know, the rights and freedoms we enjoy under the Constitution.
Thank you.
Would any of our other speakers like to weigh in on that?
This is Rachel Piven. I think just to note that what we are seeing is that the power of even one senator on judicial nominees who are biased and unfair and unfit is massive. Ryan Bounds was nominated for a seat on the Ninth Circuit. And when Senator Kim Scott said that because of the racist and homophobic things that Bounds had published, that he was withdrawing his support, the nomination was immediately withdrawn. And so I think that it is seeing how powerful it is for even one senator to speak up and say, I am concerned, really is a reminder of how close this is and how significant the responsibility of the Senate here is, as Senator Warren reminded us.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. And as a reminder, that is the star and one to ask a question. We'll go next to Charlotte Robinson from Outtake Voices. Please go ahead.
I have a couple of things that I'd like to make a short statement about, because I listened very intensely to what everyone was talking about. And language is so important here, especially in such a crisis and a situation that we're in, excuse me, a situation we're in. And what I heard with Senator Merkley and a little bit with others, even in our own community, is that people are continuing to use the term same sex. And this has to stop, because this is a Karl-Rovian term. And what it does is it sends up a red flag for, you know, for the other side, because all they hear is the word sex. I mean, we have things like, you know, we can use marriage equality, we can use gay and lesbian adoption, but we really need to stop using this term. A good colleague of mine, the late Edie Windsor, agreed with me totally about this situation, and it's just so important, especially with, you know, terms of the Trump administration, starting with, you know, fake news. Fake Christians is what we're dealing with in so many ways. So I was just wondering if we could think about this a little bit more and be more careful with our language.
Great, Charlotte. Thank you so much. I just want to ask if you have a question for any of the speakers on the call?
Yes, just a little bit of spin on what's been going on with the Religious Task Force and also this Tony Perkins nomination on a international religious panel.
Hi, Mara, would you like to give some response to that?
No, I am not the right person to respond to that, and no.
All right, great. Operator, can you give instructions for questions one final time?
Certainly. Again, that is the star and one to ask a question, star and one. And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. If you have any additional questions, you can certainly direct them to us at press@civilrights.org, and we'll make sure they reach the appropriate organization. Thanks again to all of our speakers and to all of the reporters that dialed in today.